Welcome to Torat Imacha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Pamela Rivka Simonson, and today we will be studying Amos, Perek Beis, Chapter 2. In Chapter 1, Amos prophesied regarding the punishment that five nations would endure for their brutality against the Jewish people. With the northern kingdom, Yisrael, edging closer to the possibility of exile by the Assyrians, Amos's predictions of the punitive fate of the other nations serve as a prelude to condemnation of the behaviour of the Jewish people at the time. As the inhabitants of the northern kingdom obsess over luxury, to the extent that the dignity of others becomes irrelevant and corruption rules, Amos is tasked with delivering a harsh prompt to introspect in the face of looming destruction. The formula described in Chapter 1 of Hashem allowing each nation to go unpunished for committing the three cardinal sins, but certainly bringing retribution for the fourth sin, that of severe cruelty, features again at the start of Chapter 2. The prophet now turns to the nation of Moab, and then to the southern kingdom, Yehuda, before beginning to address the main focus of his prophecy, the distorted mindset and shameful conduct of the Jewish people in the northern kingdom. Moab is condemned in Perek Beis, Posuk Aleph, Chapter 2, Verse 1. Koyamar Hashem al shleisha pishei Moav, va'al arbo'a lo yashivenu. So said Hashem for three sins of Moav, but for four I will not return them. Meaning, Hashem will tolerate three sins committed by the nation of Moav, but for the fourth sin he will not pardon. The remaining words of the verse specify what Moav's fourth sin is, saying, Al sarfai atzmais melech edaim lasid, for his burning the bones of the king of Edom into lime. If we follow the interpretation of Rashi here, we can deduce that the fourth sin represents disgraceful and callous treatment of another. He explains that the incident mentioned in this verse refers to when the king of Edom once fell into the hands of the king of Moab. They burned the bones of the king of Edom into lime, and then used it to paint the walls of the house. For this merciless act of degradation, predicts Amos, the nation of Moab will be annihilated and its royalty removed, as outlined in verses 2 and 3. Having focused on other nations until now, Amos moves his attention to the Jewish people, starting with the southern kingdom, Yehuda, in Posuk Dalet, verse 4. Koyamar Hashem al shleisha pishei Yehuda, va'al arbo'a lo yashivenu. So said Hashem for three sins of Yehuda, but for four I will not return them. I will not acquit them for the fourth sin, which is al ma'asam es tayras Hashem, for their rejecting the Torah of Hashem. V'chukav lo yishamaru, and his statutes they did not keep. V'yas'um kizvehem asher halchu avoysam acharehem, and their lies, which their forefathers followed, misled them. Malbim explains that the Jewish people of the southern kingdom at this time has come to sin not due to temptation to follow their evil inclination, but rather as a result of distortions in their belief system, which have been transferred to them from their fathers and caused them to deny the legitimacy of the Torah. Verse 5 sees Hashem's consequent threat. V'shilachti eish b'Yehuda, I will send fire into Yehuda. The punishment being predicted is destruction by Nebuchadnezzar. V'achla arminois Yerushalayim, and it will consume the palaces of Yerushalayim. These are the Beit HaMikdash and the royal palaces, says Abarbanel. The dreadful fate of exile of the southern kingdom in the future is foreseen here. As the widespread corruption in the northern kingdom stands before the heavenly court of justice, Amos, as Hashem's emissary, turns his words now to rebuke for their deceitful behaviour, reminding them of their responsibility and of the potential they possess for greatness, being God's beloved nation. He tells them about the hopelessness they will experience as an outcome if they choose not to improve. The direct reproof, though difficult to digest by one embedded in ways of dishonesty, is nevertheless a tremendous gift, for it is an opening to the possibility of a more meaningful life and of averting dreadful punishment. Posuk Vav, verse 6. Koyamar Hashem al Shlesha Pishe Yisrael. So said Hashem for three sins of Yisrael, that's the northern kingdom. Va'al arbo'o loy ashivenu. Al michram ba kesef tzadik. Ve'evyoin ba'avurin alayim. But for the fourth sin, I will not return them. For they're selling a righteous man for silver and a poor man for shoes. According to Radak, says Hashem, for their having transgressed in the three cardinal sins, idolatry, immorality, and murder, the decree before me of the destruction of their land and their being exiled by the king of Assyria has not been sealed, but for the fourth sin it is. The fourth sin is chomos, corruption. It is rife in the northern kingdom. All the more so, the judges in society are bribed into deceitful practice. The judges are the ones who are supposed to uphold righteousness, but through bribery they distort justice. With silver, you can buy the court's judgment against a righteous man. A pair of shoes alone is enough to bribe them to turn false judgment on a poor person. Amos continues in the following verses to point out the frightening degree to which the people are fixated on their own satisfaction and the extent of their disregard for the honour of another person. Verse 7. Hashayafim al afar eretz, those who aspire upon the dust of the land, meaning, according to Rashi, as they walk upon the earth, all their aspirations, all their thoughts are barosh dalim, on the head of the poor, concerning the poor. They are preoccupied with thoughts of how they will rob the poor and take their possessions. The Ibn Ezra emphasizes their shameless approach to sin, stemming from diversion from humility, in connection with the act specified in verse 7, V'ish v'aviv yelchu el hana'ara. And a man and his father go to the maiden. A man does not feel ashamed to go together with his father to have intimacy with a maiden. And their lack of remorse for swindling people, coupled with their idolatrous practices, are condemned when Amos says in verse 8, Va'al begodim chavulim yatu, eitzel kol mizbeach, v'yein anushim yishtu, beis elaihehem. And they recline on pledged garments beside every altar, and they drink the wine of the penalized ones in the house of their gods. By Rashi's reading, they take clothing from the poor as a pledge for payment of a loan they have imposed upon them, and they form the garments into couches that they recline on at mealtimes. And with money from fines they have charged people, unjustly, says Ibn Ezra, they buy wine which they drink in the house of idolatry. Before describing the impending retribution, Hashem mentions the exclusivity of his relationship with the Jewish people and the guidance he has given them. In verse 9, he says, V'anaychi hishmadati es ha'emayrim ipneihem, and I destroyed the Emorite from before them. Verse 10, V'anaychi he'eleisi eschem me'eretz mitzrayim, V'aileich eschem bamidbar arboim shana, la'reshes es eretz ha'emayri. And I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and I led you in the desert for 40 years to inherit the land of the Emorites. Verse 11, Va'akim ibneichem linviim. And I raised up some of your sons as prophets. Umibachureichem linzirim. And some of your young men as Nazirites. As Radak interprets, Hashem is saying, I destroyed the strongest of the seven nations, the Emorites, due to their evil ways. But you abandoned my ways that are good, and instead took on the laws of the Emorites. And before I brought you to the land of Yisrael, I took you out from slavery in Egypt and provided you with everything you needed in the desert for 40 years. I accustomed you to my ways so that when you come to learn of the Emorite ways, you will not follow in them. And to separate you from other nations and draw you closer to me, I bestowed prophecy upon you and I inspired your young ones with purity to accept Nazirite vows upon themselves, all to make you holy. Ha'af ein zois, b'nei Yisrael? Is this not so, children of Yisrael? You had all the preparation for holiness, but what have you chosen? Verse 12, Vatashku es hanazirim yayin. You gave the Nazirites wine to drink. A Nazir can't give Torah instruction when intoxicated, explains Rashi. Va'al hanavim tzivisem leimar loitin avu. And you commanded the prophets, saying, do not prophesy. Hashem is saying, you don't want to receive instruction. And so, in the concluding verses of this chapter, Amos foretells the punishment awaiting them, an oppression that Hashem will send from which no one will be able to escape, not the swift, nor the strong, nor the mighty. Verse 15, V'sofeis hakeshes lo ya'amod, and the one who holds the bow shall not stand. V'kal baraglov lo yimaleit, and the fleet-footed shall not escape. V'roichiv hasus lo yimaleit nafshai, and the rider of the horse shall not save his soul. Even the bold-hearted among the mighty, verse 16, V'amitz liboi bagiboyrim, will flee naked, meaning without their weapons, says Rashi. However powerful they may feel when they take advantage of others, when divine retribution arrives, there is no escape, not through bribery nor bravery. Chapter 2 of Amos has certainly communicated that society cannot function on deceit, corrupt leadership, and disregard for human sanctity, and that Hashem's beloved nation cannot triumph in spirituality if they choose to leave behind them their training ground in holiness and block all channels to hearing truth. The description in this chapter of a denial of responsibility to think beyond self and of distorted attitudes resulting in immorality perhaps should leave those who study it with an awakened consciousness to tend to the needs of others, to remain steadfast in prioritizing righteousness, and to ensuring one's hashkafa, outlook, is always rooted only in Torah. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther Bas Tzvi Yosef.